Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Father, I just ask that you take over tonight and just take us wherever you'd like, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you, Father. People's lives will be changed in the near future. Many, millions, hopefully, and millions will be changed. Lord, I thank you for the things that are going on in the Middle East and in Africa. My gracious Lord, and just multiplying over there in droves and droves. And I praise you, Father, for bringing them into the kingdom, cleaning them up, and sending them back out again, Father God. And I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for your warrior angels going around about with them, protecting them in those dangerous walks that they're in over there. And I praise you and I glorify you that many, many more, you know, it was one man that started this 3 years ago. And Lord, we got, gosh, thousands coming to Christ now. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that tonight we're going to have an open heaven. The things that we pray will be answered because you're a gracious and merciful God. And you hear every word we say because you live inside of us. And everything that we speak, you hear, and they're answered in Jesus' name because we have faith. Everybody here has faith, great, bold faith. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. My, my, my. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? How about a testimony? How about a praise report? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lana. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Hey. I have two tonight. So y'all were praying for little Theo the other night. And yesterday evening, the little guy finally gave in to obedience.
Praise God.
It finally sunk in. And the Lord has been so good because I took the time to talk to him and really gently, you know, just, I want to say drill it in, but I didn't drill it. And I just kept talking and explaining to him. And then we were having dinner with the kiddos and we were talking about, we were reading Bible with the kids and we were talking about the fear of the Lord. And I asked Theo, do you fear mama? And he says, no. And I said, and this is after we had the breakthrough with him. And I said, not even a little bit when mama has the paddle. And he looks at me and he says, oh, mama, yes, I do. Cause you have the paddle and you can really spank me, mama. And then little Gabe was acting up and Theo looked at him and he said, Gabe, we don't scream in the house. We don't kick in this house.
As I was reaching
for the paddle. So that was such a beautiful, breakthrough, such a beautiful ending to the trial and that my child gets it, that I got to hit, we got to his heart because that's what matters, you know?
Amen.
So I was just so grateful. The little guy is pretty stubborn. I learned that he can handle some spankings. I mean, Matt, when they stayed with the stewards, Matt said that in comparison to the two sets of children, his boys and my boys, his boys require like a 10% power. My boys require 50% power for this thing to get through to them. So if y'all can imagine my struggle with knowing how much they need, and the Lord gave me the grace to endure. So I'm just so grateful, as y'all can imagine, when children are causing you this much anarchy in the house. You are crying and begging the Lord to bring in deliverance. Speaking of, I need to go visit them back there right now. See you, Max. Nice. But I have another testimony. I woke up this morning and I did not feel well. Go to bed. I'll come back. Go to bed. I'll come back. And I did not feel good at all. And by the time I got out of bed, I could hardly stand on my feet. And so I went from my bed to the kids' bed because I needed to see what was going on in their room and get them out of bed. And I just stayed in their bed for as long as they would let me before I had to feed the troops, as my husband says. And it was miserable. I haven't felt this sick in a long, long time. And I was thinking to myself, like, how am I going to get through today? I can't even get up to feed the kids. And eventually I figured, you know what, I think I need to throw up. So I went, and that's what happened. And Gabe gave me a hug because he was hitchhiking along. And I started to feel better. And the whole time we're just casting this stuff down because I'm like, man, something's been going around. And praise the Lord, by noon, so this was 4 hours in since I woke up, I was cooking food and I was eating and I was strengthened and I was feeling much better. Because up until that point, I would lick a spoon and I would start to feel sick all over again, just, you know, licking my kid's yogurt spoon. And I was like, oh no, this is not good. But praise the Lord. We just kept casting it down. I told that I wouldn't receive it. My husband agreed with me. And by noon I was cooking and eating. And we got everything done. The day's been more or less normal since then. And just, I've never started and recovered so quickly. So thank you, Lord. He hears our prayers and makes overcomers of us.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for peace and health in the Galchenko household. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Ben, go ahead. Or Andrew, which one?
You know, when Lana was speaking there last night, when I went to bed, there was like coughing, praying against the coffin. And finally got to sleep and listening to a bedtime story from David Eales. Because I do that lots. And from his early sessions, too, because this is an old desktop that you can't really download anything. It's got Windows 7 on it, or Windows XP, I think, even worse than 7. And so I downloaded there, and I listened to it as a bedtime story, but I was also praying it just in my head, you know, praying sometimes at loud. You know, the verse that I like to pray is, himself took our infirmities and bore the sicknesses. No. Himself took our infirmities. And then, I fell asleep and then woke up and I was okay. You know, I didn't have any cough. So, you know, when you get that tickling in the throat, and this is many times I've had to do this, especially when I used to have to go to work every morning. And he took it away from me. So praise and glory to God, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, go ahead, Missy.
After I got to thinking about it, I did have a praise report. You remember I asked y'all to pray for me because I was getting this like stuffiness and everything on Tuesday. Well, I woke up with kind of a sinus thing, headache going or whatever on the left side, and most of the day yesterday, and it wasn't real bad. You know, I was just, you know, rebuking it and claiming I'm healed and everything. And then when it came to like about the evening, I went through a sneezing fit. The sinus thing went away. I went through a sneezing fit and I was blowing my nose and everything. And then when I went to bed, I was like, I had this thought of putting a bunch of tissues, you know, next to the bedside, but I didn't put any in because I was feeling better. And I didn't wake up at all. You know, I slept really good and I got up this morning, you know, and I was good. And I've been, I mean, you know, I'm like so much better. There's barely nothing there. And in Jesus' name, it's completely gone. I thank you, Lord. So it's just a short-lived thing. And, you know, a lot of stuff that we go through, we're going to, you know, that's times it's going to be a trial. But it's nice when it's a short-lived trial. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Quit that, Benita. Go ahead, Pat.
So everybody must be having quick healings or quick deliverances or whatever. And I didn't think about it because it was so quick. But this morning, I usually get up at 4, but I woke up at 3. And I had a cramp, one of these cramps and I never get body cramps, but I had one in my foot. And I hate to say it, but I didn't want to get up and deal with it. And so I just rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and it went away immediately. And the bad thing about it was I was thanking the Lord, and then I never got back to sleep. But hey, whatever. Sleep is highly overrated, I guess, isn't it?
That's what some people say.
Yeah.
Not cracked up what they tell you is. Go ahead, Bias.
I got a prayer request. Karen is having an allergic reaction to pineapple. She accidentally ingested some, drinking some fruit juice, she thinks. And I'm just wondering if we can bring her up to the altar so she can get healed of this.
Amen. Yeah.
Lord God, I thank you so much for Karen. Thank you so much. I'm asking of this of you again, Lord, for healing, that this curse is not upon her anymore. And I want you to give her that revelation, God, that you already bore this sickness and this infirmity at the cross, and that she is healed in the name of Jesus Christ, and that she walks with authority and boldness to command these demons out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Father, that it is done, and it's to your glory, too. And we praise you for it, Father. Amen. She's not allergic to nothing.
Nope.
Thank you, Lord. Pineapple juice. Give me a break. Hey, is that the best you can do, demon? Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
Long story short, Isaac, if he's there. I didn't see, is he there? Yeah, he is. Hey, Isaac. Anyway, I want you all to agree with me. My phone might have been hacked, but I'm standing in faith believing that it's not. And if let's put it this way. If it was hacked, take a hike in the name of Jesus. You get out of my phone. You stay out of my phone. These snooping spirits must go in the name of Jesus. And my phone is safe and secure in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. I am not going to need to get a new phone. I'm not going to need to do anything more than what I'm already doing. I'm just standing on the authority that you've given me. Lord, your ways are higher than man's ways.
Amen.
Your man's ways are not your ways. Man's wisdom is not your wisdom. Your wisdom is higher. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we all have a daddy, a father, who's the almighty God. And he loves us and he takes care of us. And we depend and rely on you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah, I'm going to go the short story long route this time.
All right. Truth comes out. Praise God.
Yeah, no doubt. Excuse me. You know, two things here, you know, about the whole hacking. Y'all know with companies nowadays, they'll send you like an email to make sure that you're not clicking on it, right? It's kind of like they frame you, like they send you an email and you're not supposed to click on it. You're supposed to report it. That way they'd be like, hey, you followed the guidelines. You're doing a great job. I always fail those. Well, it's so bad. It's to the point to where it says, don't click here. And I do it. No, I'm just joking. I never do that. But yeah, I actually, I got hit with one of those the other day. Man, it was so legit, but it's just a company thing. And I told my boss, it was really funny, so now I have to get trained for it. Whatever, moving on. But this is kind of incredible what happened to me the other day. And it's humbling. I've repented for it already. But I want to share it, and it's not going to bode well for me. But sometimes that doesn't really matter too much because you can see the hand of the Lord in it. And I do think that's more important. Excuse me. Man, the other day I heard y'all know I've been having issues with these neighbors that are building a home. They're kind of lawless and they don't mind their boundaries. And it does bother me because it is dangerous back there. There's, I've caught so many hunters back there that were illegal, you know, and there's a lot of shoot first, ask questions later type of people. Now it's my property anyways. And I don't want to be seeing somebody cut my trees down and bulldoze my property, right? That's never fun. Excuse me. But the other day I heard some people back here and I was like, well, here we go. Just trying to work on the garden. So I walked back here and I'm looking and of course I don't see anybody and everything looks pretty normal, but I smell a fire over in the distance. Somebody's doing a fire. And I see that neighbor's got his lawn equipment over next to the fence that he tore down. That's my neighbor's. And I keep an eye on that property for my neighbor. So it's only speculation. But I was like, man, I wonder if they're back here just taking firewood and just taking it back and not expecting to find nobody. So I walked away. I just can't catch them. Well, I found his knife on our property. He's an electrician, right? And he carries a Klein switchblade. Now, Klein's like a typical tool an electrician would use. I used a lot of Klein stuff. Michael, you know what I'm saying? Very, very popular tool. Very popular. Or brand, I should say. So I already knew. I was like, man, gosh, this is getting frustrating. So I'm kind of humbled to say this. And y'all just hang with me. Because one, the glory of the Lord was in this. And two, He's perfecting that which concerneth me, even in my weak moments, man. I kind of had a weak week, if that makes sense. But man, His grace is sufficient for thee. Anyways, I got real fed up about it, man. So I'm getting tired of this guy getting on my property just because he's a big guy. He thinks he can bully everybody around. So I called the sheriff and I just said, hey, I talked to my neighbors first. They're like, yeah, you can go ahead. We're good with it. And they're also police officers. So I called the sheriff, said, hey, would you just go talk to this guy? Just tell him, because I've already talked to him myself once. He doesn't seem to listen to me. I just want it noted. Let's get on the same page here. Okay. I already know it's not right, but I did it anyways. Lord, forgive me. And so I'm just telling you. Well, I just talked to the sheriff's office. So they said they'll dispatch somebody out there. And the guy came to my house real quick and he's talking to me, asked me questions about it. What he wants, what I want him to do. I said, really? I said, I don't want much. I just want you to put him in the penitentiary. No, I'm struggling. I said, is there a Gitmo around here?
Yeah.
I said, look, I said, man, I just want him to know that he just can't do what he wants here, man. And if you'd go talk to him, I think that would alleviate this. He goes, well, I want to show you something. He pulled up his app on his phone to share. He goes, let's look at the property boundaries and explain to me what you're seeing. Well, then he noticed the guy, the neighbor who's been, I've had a dream about this guy also, because you guys prayed months ago that if he be not repentant, that the Lord move him on. And I was like, you know, I can get behind that and believe that. I've never prayed like that before, and I want him to be repentant. But then I had a dream the next night that him and his buddies were laughing at me as they're destroying my property, like as a big joke to them. And so I said, well, Lord, if I'm not going to be repentant, then it is what it is. I'm just going to move on. But at this point, as you can see, I didn't move on as I should have. I should have trusted the Lord. I didn't. Anyways, so as the sheriff was looking at the property boundaries, he goes, that's old Brett. I forget his name, Call or something. Like that. Brett Call, that's my good old buddy. Oh, man, they're best buddies from way back. I said, oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me right now? I didn't say that to him. I said, he goes, yeah, I know him. And I said, you do? He goes, oh, man, we went to high school. I grew up with him. He goes, you're going to love him. I'm thinking, I'm supposed to. But anyways, so the sheriff drove over and talked to him. And then the sheriff called me back. He said, well, Isaac, he goes, I just think this is the type of guy you're going to want to be friends with. Man, he's a great guy. I said, sounds like you really got through to him. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you won't have no problems out of him. I promise you. He said he was never back here. I said, well, I gave you the knife. Did you give it to him? He said, yeah. He said it was his knife. And I said, well, that's wonderful. And I said, he goes, but he lost it a long time ago. And quite frankly, I actually do believe that. I really do. In my heart, I believe that. And I think it's more me listening to the wrong spirit than it was me holding in on the faith. I believed him. I really, truly do. I just don't believe how I was feeling. That's what was wrong. Anyways, I said, that's cool, man. And sheriff goes, man, I mean, he talked to me for 10 minutes about how great this guy was. I said, gosh, he must be fantastic. And I understand now. I said, well, I just appreciate you being the mediator here and kind of working between me and him and getting us on the same page. He goes, yeah, no problem, man. You won't have no problem. I said, all right, great. And I got a phone. And I thought, that backfired. And I thought to myself, but what other way was it supposed to go? That's exactly how it's supposed to work out. It was supposed to work out that way because, you know, when man tries, it's cursed, right? Cursed is the man who trusts in the arm of the flesh. And that's exactly what I do. That's exactly, I'm sorry, I rebuked that, but that's exactly what I did. Anyways, you know, I just wanted to share it because I thought that was, it's unfortunate for me, but it's not about me, right? And I hope somebody somewhere gets a nugget of faith out of that because it's kind of cool. Really, it's super cool. It's just moral story, don't do what I did, please. But anyways, that's all I want to share.
Amen. Amen. Well, you and Bubba are going to be big buddies, huh? All right. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? All right. Y'all ready to listen to a worship song? Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, a second here.
To him a new song. I will celebrate, sing.
All right. How's a gooder? Okay, now what were we talking about the other one that we wanted to extend over into tonight? Willie, where you is? There you are.
Oh my Lord, I can't even remember. Oh God! What were we talking about?
I think it was the Holy Spirit. Something about the Holy Spirit.
It must have been the Spirit talking to me, because that's what I get like when I don't remember.
Yeah, Andrew's or Ben's got it. What you got, Ben?
Well, I mentioned there's a difference between unbelief and doubt. And then you kind of said, well, that's a whole new can of worms. We're going to have to talk about that next time.
And he also mentioned chapter 15 of John. I believe you mentioned something about the branch and the vine. How close we are to the Lord. And I can't remember those two verses that Willie mentioned. In one of his talks there, he was talking about the doctrine and having the proper word. And yeah, so that's what I think we were talking about anyway.
Yes, we were.
A little bit unappealing, yep. That I'm not criticizing Trump as much as they want to. They can say what they want up to and state their beliefs.
But we can't hear you, Willie.
I'm here for a reason. It is to stop running from something. It is
can't hear
you. What it means to be a person. To put America first, we have to.
What is all that going on?
I'm leading the way of that. And I'm doing it by talking to DeSantis.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you and sound like somebody else in the background.
This is TV in the background.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I got a.
We're hearing a lot of noise in the background. We hear a TV or something going with it. It's pretty loud.
Yeah, I know. Hold on.
I'm sorry, finish your point. I'm going to let you finish. My bad. I thought you were done. Well, you want me to address two things, so I'll just address the other one briefly, and then I'll hear from you, Steve. The other is factually is my position on vaccines or the vaccine
galaxy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right.
Now it's quiet. Yeah.
Yeah, my love for technology just brings in a further confusion.
Amen.
Oh man, what was I talking about? I was so joyful, you know, that Tuesday. You know, I just let the Spirit do its thing. I can't even remember. I think for me, just walking in the joy of the Spirit, you know, is the most important thing. You know, having joy in everything is the most important thing. But man, I can't remember, but I do know what happened to me after I got off after everything was over. The Lord had me write down this 3-page revelation, but that'd take way too long for me to go through. And I got to be leaving for work in like 30 minutes. And so I just can't remember though.
Well, like Andrew said, you were talking about John 15 and, just being in the vine. He's the true vine and my father's the husband, 15:1. And I don't remember how far you went down.
And the thing is, remember when I get to work, right? Like, oh! Yeah, I can't remember right now. Well, no, hopefully they'll ask the Lord to bring it back to my remembrance, you know. I'm sorry, I should have wrote it down. I got into writing down the revelation after I got off with you guys on Tuesday, and I just was writing. And the Lord just had me writing and writing and writing.
Amen.
But yeah, if anyone remembers anything that we were talking about, Missy, I know me and you were conversing on it. And where'd he go? Pat, me and you were conversing on it. So I'm not the only one that's forgotten. Oh, Lord. Mm-mm. But if you guys, if Missy or Pat, if you guys remember, I'm just having such a brain fart right now.
I'll tell you what came to my mind last week or the other day when we were talking about it. Was who we are in Christ now, the new creation now, and what that means to us now.
It seems like we were talking about the anointing,
doctor,
what the condition, you know, what the. I was thinking about the interesting thing, and maybe this is kind of an example or a type of the anointing. But in Jesus' life, when he obviously is our example and our life, he was baptized, received the Holy Spirit, and proceeded in his ministry to do his work. And the Father worked through him by faith. And It is my opinion that Jesus, when God laid the sin on Jesus, yet he was without sin. It's almost like a contradiction, but he laid the sin. This is what I personally believe. He laid the sin. Jesus received, and this almost sounds blasphemous, so I need everybody to think with me on this one. He received the sin nature through the bloodline of Mary. But he was born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was by faith received by Mary, and he was born of the Spirit. Jesus carried that through his life and through his ministry for the purpose of taking it to the cross. And he never yielded to the temptation or this inner strength of that sin nature. And he had to battle with it by faith and put it down and resist the temptation to sin, to yield to it and sin. And he did not sin. And therefore, he carried that life, that sinful nature, to the cross and overcame it on the cross, and it was put to death and died. But, and then, of course, 3 days later, he was raised. But all of the works that he did upon the earth, he did by faith, mm-hmm. with this battle and with this environment within him of this battle, or the always tempter trying to tempt him through that process. But he always won, and he was victorious by faith, walking in the Father's will and the Father's strength. And he, in that battle, and even in that faith, in that environment within him, he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers, he rebuked and cast out the demons. He walked in the authority of the Father by that faith. But after he was crucified and it was finished, and he took that old man of that sin nature to the cross and nailed it to the cross and was nailed to the cross and died, and raised again 3 days later, he came back in a resurrected body, a resurrected life. And I think that is a picture, because then in that resurrected life, there was no inner battle with anything. He walked, as a matter of fact, it was that resurrected body, resurrected Christ, that said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. I think it's Matthew 28 or something like that, the Great Commission. That was the resurrected Christ who said that statement.
I have been given all authority and all power in heaven and earth. And I think that is kind of a picture, I may be wrong, a picture of the second anointing, I guess, is what we're expecting from the Lord. And I don't know if that is the anointing to confidently, by faith, rest in the finished, total, complete work of Christ, putting to death that old man in us and removing from us the inner restriction and the inner battle that sometimes reigns in there, or sometimes functions in there, or probably all the time functions in there, and releases us to walk in the resurrected life of Christ by faith. So I think when I was asking that question of Willie, what will that anointing, what are we expecting? What do we think is really happening in that anointing? And so I'll just shut up. I think that kind of, I said all I need to say.
No, that's good, Pat. I think that's exactly where you left off. You know, we were talking about that. Did anybody want to carry it a little further?
So can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, sir.
Does that, what I said there about Jesus receiving that sinful nature through the bloodline, is that blasphemous, or is that?
Oh, no. No, he said that he was like in every situation like man, and he was tempted like man, all of us are, but he didn't give in to it. Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah,
that's precisely what I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He had to cast it down just like we do. He was showing us how to do it. And what is great about it that we have is the Holy Ghost to lead us and to give us the power to overcome those things. And I know that it's been a struggle for me, but, you know, we finally come into, after we get more of the word in you, you get more of the word in you, get more of the word in you, the more you're able, through the power and the grace of God, to overcome things. And you know, you're walking in sin. I mean, not sin, I'm sorry. You're walking in holiness and because of the sanctifying grace of God and the faith that you have, that you are walking in that sanctified life. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, when Pat was talking there, some verses came into my head about John chapter 2, where he is our advocate, I believe it says there, and he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. But not everyone wants that love, I guess, of John 3:16. And so, you know, I got to thinking about that when he was talking, and we know that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. But how does Jesus, with all power and authority, how is his presence among us? Because the same Christ that's supposed to be in me is the same Christ that's supposed to be in each and every one of you. So Jesus has I have to say, and put it this way, because not everyone is saved. So there's a limited presence or omnipresence of Christ in people here and people in Tennessee, people in Australia, people in South Africa. Fitly framed together, I believe it in this love, you know, knit together. And I'm just making a statement here. If this is wrong, I like someone to clarify whether it's wrong, whether this omnipresent Jesus exists in this one body that's within all of us. And because, you know, if it is, then he emptied himself, like it says in Philippians chapter 2. He emptied himself, have this mind in you, where he emptied himself, and this is how he did it. This is how he did it with his own personal vessel, too. And I'm just saying, if this omni new one life, omnipresence, which is the church, we have that capability. We just have to have a way of latching onto these things, and it's, if it's all blessed upon us, just like it says in Ephesians, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That's a lot of blessing. You can go to a concordance and look up the word blessed, and you'll probably find a whole page of verses. And so it gets you just wondering. That's all I'm saying. Because are people just being arrogant, not wanting the love of God, first of all, and Jesus, who, like it says in Hebrews, he knew why he was taking that cross and going to his death, and he wanted to do it. He wanted to also love God and obey him to be the sacrifice for us all. And it just makes you think, you know, like, in an exciting sort of way, because there's just so much more for us, you know, and we're talking about a Father who's almighty, and he can make it happen for us. So I just never thought of it. And to share it this way, that Jesus is in many places now around the world. And it's just exciting that he could be in more than one place, because I think we've discussed this before, you know, where people go to heaven and Jesus is at your party. He's at the, I think it was, what was that guy's name? Odin Hedrick. And he would say he would be at my party, and he would be at, well, he, of course, because he's present within those people who are in these parties. And that's just amazing on how that could be, you know. And so I don't know if it's proper to say that he has a limited omnipresence, but the potential of his omnipresence is to be in everyone on this planet. But why they don't choose to, well, I guess they don't choose. It's God who chooses them. So that just makes you so thankful for the Lord actually calling you and making you bear fruit and perfecting you, and to have that love of God, to obey his commandments. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Not whosoever, whatsoever overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Overcome, overcome, overcome. Every one of the seven churches had an overcoming to do too. And our dependency on this, and to trust in the Lord to do this through us, is a great need. I can see why he said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, I was looking at Escape from Christendom, and He's talking about going through the four wildernesses there. Wilderness of forgiveness, wilderness of worship, wilderness of prayer, and wilderness of the harvest.
Yeah.
And we have a journey, and our journey is whether we like it. We love our journey and we want to continue on our journey, just like Pilgrim's Progress, just like this progress, and just like our progress, you know, even David Eales had a dream, which is a progress. He came down from Mount Babylon, went through the valley, saw all the tools with oil all over them for binding and loosening stuff, and then he went up the mountain called Jesus, the Mount Zion, to get to the top, and he entered that chamber in the top and had a discussion with Jesus there. And so we have to get on the mountain. We have to get on the mountain, climb the mountain all the way up to Jesus, and have our counsel, our apprehension of that glory that he wants us to have, that Holy Spirit glory and filling, to walk in truth, to walk in love, to walk in the light, to walk in the light as he is in the light. Follow that light, it says in the Pilgrim's Progress. Even after his cross experience, he still has to follow that light. So the journey, this pilgrimage we're on, and a warning of the future pilgrimage that we're on, which we would love to know more about. I think that's a very important thing, that to never forget that you're on a journey. And you know, Jesus, when he was 12, asked for favor. A favor of God. He had favor of God and he had favor of man. So, you know, sometimes you could even have favor with any man, you know, and even one who's not saved, you know, and the Lord works out things for us. And, you know, consider Daniel, you know, I sort of think when you read the book of Daniel, he had a good rapport with Nebuchadnezzar under the gold principality, and then under the silver principality, he had also a good rapport with that king too. And it should be that kind of favor that we get, and because God can do anything he wants. Praise God and glory to God. So you need favor from God to go on your journey constantly. You know, he has to work these things out through us, work things out of our lives, and keep us on our journey and keep us walking. And you can reflect on things, you know. I'm sure people have reflected on their journey in the past too, you know. And the Holy Spirit has ways of reminding us, you know. Could this reflection mean that you're reminiscing on something that has happened because the Holy Spirit is reminding you? Because that's what John 14:26 says. And, he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, teach you all things and remind you of everything he taught you. You got to take that on your journey. And praise and glory to God. It's supposed to be an excitement for you, an exciting life, you know. Sometimes you get in the doldrums, you know. Especially like if you're all alone, you know. I should counsel my son to slap me in the face so that I can get back and be happy or something. Anyways, but praise God, just glory to God.
Amen.
We're in a nice family. We're in a wonderful family. We're knit together, and it doesn't matter where you're at. You could be just new in the Lord and so excited, and you have to maintain that excitement. You have to. It's the excitement because of, not because of you, but because who's in you, who's keeping you going, you know, who's doing this, you know. I say to myself, you know, I get into some real bad doldrums myself, and we need to be reminded, you know. And I think on Tuesday, what Willie was talking about, it was contagious for me, myself. And I'd like to see that continue, you know, not plateau, but continue on an upgoing scale all the time, you know. That would be wondrous and wonderful to just to have stability sometimes, you know, and really meditate on those things that we have learned for so many years. We've learned these things, and they have to be on our letter, we're an epistle known and read of all men. Well, it's been passed on. It's like the baton has been passed on in the relay. You're the next epistle. Just like those Corinthians were in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And you've got stuff written on your epistle, your letter. You know, at the very least, those people who think they're overweight, you know, you're a skinny piece of paper. Let God and let us be clothed with this epistle, very much so, not written with ink or engraved in stone, but written upon hearts of flesh by the Spirit of God. And this is what we carry with us constantly. And I'm excited. I hope people are getting excited anyway. I'm trying to encourage all I can, because I've been encouraged here on this site quite a bit. And I know there's love here, and the love of God is here. And praise and glory to God for it all. We don't commend ourselves in this at all. It's all Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right, Patrick, go ahead. Thank you, Andrew.
I was thinking about what Andrew was saying about the Spirit. Or Jesus's omnipresence, and I certainly don't. I mean, I think about that. I don't have the first thing that I'm thinking about is that Jesus, his life was given over to the Father to do the Father's will, who obviously is omnipresent. And I guess I was thinking that Jesus is omnipresent for sure in all of his word, in all of the scripture. And when Andrew was talking about that, I was thinking of does Jesus have a certain limitation in the spirit? And I got to thinking, even the spirit of man is not limited, other than by how God limits the spirit. But, you know, the essence of spirit doesn't have boundaries. And it was, I was thinking that in terms, I was thinking about something else and related to how are people demonized or demon possessed or anything like that, and how do many demons live, say inhabit a person or whatever, like the those in the scripture that Jesus cast out. And it's because spirits don't have, they don't have limits. They don't, it's not like, you know, you only get three spirits in this thimble, you know, you get billions of them. There's no limit to spirit because the spirit doesn't have a limit. But on the other hand, what do they have? How are they limited then? They're limited by God's word, by authority, by God's word. That is the limit or the restraining of any spirit. But I was thinking about also that example, and I wish I could remember exactly. It was in the Old Testament. I think it was the situation where the prophets, the false prophets, were trying to convince Ahab, maybe, to go do something, or you know, basically saying, you know, go out and conk or whatever. And there was a scene in heaven when God said, who will go convince Ahab to do such and such? I don't remember what it was exactly now, because God wanted to punish Ahab, and this angel said, "I'll go." And he said, "Well, how are you going to do it?" He said, "I'm going to be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets." So that one spirit in some form influenced every one of those prophets to convince Ahab to do something. So that one spirit didn't have a limitation of one body, or, you know, he went out and infected, influenced, however you want to say, multiple people. And I think that Jesus and the spirit of Jesus within us accomplishes the same principle through his word. And I think it's so exciting, because he says in the scripture somewhere in Revelation, I don't remember, that, you know, that each one of us has been given a specific perspective related to God, related to Jesus. And everyone has a different, you know, we come on this group and everyone will say, key on a different verse or bring something up or share about something else. It's because his spirit is not limited within us, and he can cover the gamut of anything he wants to influence and produce within us, because he's not limited. He's not limited within us, and he's not limited in how he can influence you to think about a certain aspect of his word. And that he enjoys, I believe, influencing you or impressing upon your heart to share something in the word to bless the rest of the body, you know. And in that way, we all grow. We all learn to listen. We learn to speak. We learn to listen and receive from others and give others and respond to that spirit, his spirit, when he nudges us to do so. But anyway, I guess I was thinking about the statement about the limitations of the spirit, like how many spirits can you get on the head of a pin or something like that. You know, there's no limit there, you know. But anyway, I'll quit babbling.
Okay. Anyone else? So here's a question I have. How do you get more like Jesus? If Jesus lives in us, He came into us at our salvation, and the Holy Spirit comes into us when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So how do we start? How do we get to the point of where we look, act, and talk like Jesus? And how does that work? Yeah, Julie.
The scripture says in John chapter 7, says, he that believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his innermost belly shall flow rivers of living water. I think it's just the more you believe and read the word, and meditate on the word, it goes into you. And you start talking, thinking, and acting like the word.
Maybe.
I'm sure that's, there's a lot more, but that's what was coming to me.
Yeah, Willie.
Oh, yeah. Personal experience. You're absolutely right, Julie. Let me tell you something. Boy, I didn't know nothing about Jesus until I started agreeing with Jesus. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have attitude issues. We got attitude problems. And sometimes, you know, we want to get we want to please the Lord, and we want to do it so in such a way we condemn ourselves. That's the wrong attitude issue to have. We want to be pleasing to the Lord, so we become more militant. You know, we want to please the Lord so much, you know, we become more judgmental of other brothers and sisters who say one, you know, just say one thing wrong in the scriptures, and I have to correct you, you know. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed, you know, and I had to let go of all those things, you know, because that's, you got that scripture that says, he that denieth men, him shall I deny before my Father and his holy angels or his messengers, or you can even take that as his saints. You won't know how to fellowship with the saints. You won't have fellowship with God in the spirit. You know, you'll be no good to nobody, not even yourself. And I just found that, you know, when the Lord reproved me of how I was denying him and how that was causing me not to have proper fellowship with the saints, not to have proper fellowship with the Father, not to have proper fellowship with the saints, you know, it changed something in me. It freed me. You know, it freed me. And, you know, yeah, where does that joy come from? That freedom. You know, I got, you're going to get to a place where you get tired. Tired of being judgmental. Tired of being ultra stern. You know, tired of feeling condemnation. You know, tired of, you know, rejection, self-rejection, fear. You just, you're trying so hard to please God, you know. After the mind of the flesh, you realize you're not walking in the spirit. And that was me. And so when the Lord started talking to me about doctrine, and thanks for the reminder about it, Venita, because I was like, I could not remember what I was talking about. When he started showing me, talking to me about doctrine, he started talking to me about that. You know, he's like, that's not my doctrine. The way you're conducting yourself, that's not my doctrine. And it's caused you to have many obscene and wrong views of life, you know, of fellowship, of love. I didn't have no love. You can't have love with condemnation. You can't have love if you're constantly, you know, critical, you know, fearful, you know, you don't know what love is. You really don't. Even when you say, oh yeah, I know what love is because I'm doing everything to the best of my account, you know, that I think what love is, and, you know, and, but you're in this miserable company of witnesses of these cloud of false beliefs going on in your your mind. And this is your fellowship. You know, this is your fellowship. This cloud of false witnesses talking to you in your head, twisting and perverting the word. And, you know, you're like, I need deliverance. Oh, I need, you know, just pray for me. You know, I've been struggling with this spirit. You've been struggling with doctrine. You've been struggling with that mind of yours, you know. And these demons, yeah, they'll take advantage of it. But we're not, you know, he that denieth me, him shall I deny before my Father. We miss entering into that rest. You know, no matter how many times I heard it, you know, when I've come on here in fellowship with you guys, I never heard it. You know, let us therefore enter into that rest, lest any of us come short of the promises through unbelief. I don't have unbelief. I'm strong. I had so much unbelief. You know, it was ridiculous. How could you say that? Because my understanding of God's word was wrong. And it created unbelief. It opened up strongholds. It kept me under passions. It was just this ongoing, miserable war. Miserable. I didn't enjoy myself in Christ. I struggled to keep myself in Christ. You know, so when he really began to deal with my life, you know, doctrine has been the newest thing. I know I keep calling it doctrine, but it's just the word of God I'm talking about. But what I'm also talking about is if the prince of lies is talking to you and twisting the scripture, that's a doctrine. It's contrary to God's word, but it is my sheep hear my voice. Another voice they shall not follow. And so, like with the allergies, the person who's allergic to pineapples, why? You know, God, you know, that's not the way we were built. So where's that coming from? You know, whose doctrine is that? You know, that's the doctrine of the fallen nature. And we have to deny that doctrine. You know, we have to come against the voice of the evil one. You know, we're believing it. I'm allergic. That's what my doctor said. You know, I'm allergic. That's his doctor. You know, this is what my physician said. And we're taking all these words from the Bible, you know, physician, doctor. And you just got to put the I-N-E there. And you got doctrine. You know, so who's your doctor? Who's your doctor? You know, who's your physician? Who's your healer? You know, and so the Lord just started showing me things like that. It's like, if you got to look at everything according to doctrine. And he was dealing with helping me not being no longer deceived by condemnation, by fear, by being critical, you know, by being self-loathing, depression. Is this the joy I'm supposed to have in the Lord? You know, I just feel like a guy who's reading Psalms 51 50 billion times over, and I can't catch a break from Psalms 51. You know, that was my life. I can't begin to tell you how many times, every time I sin, I've read Psalms 51. I've probably read Psalms 51 longer than the added lifespan of all of us put together here. But yeah, I got tired of it. I'm tired of it. I am tired of it. I'm done. I am so tired. I am so done. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's my strength. It's your strength. It's our strength. You know, it's what, you know, it is. When I said, you know, we have the fullness of the Godhead bodily, You know, because that head is attached to us, the body. You know, and it's given unto us in without measure from the head, meaning he's going to pour it out to the whole body. When he's saying without measure, he's not just talking about himself, but he's pouring himself out, you know, as a corporate body in all of us to perform his work in us and through us without measure, you know. And I just find thing that type of the way the Lord reveals stuff like that wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. But the only time we clog it up, you know, we make it bad. That fear, that condemnation, that self-loathing, you know, that critical thinking, you can't go there. You clog it up. You're never going to have peace. You're never going to know who you are in Christ. You're never going to come to fullness of joy. You're not going to experience being filled with the Holy Spirit. And even though you say, hey, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I just feel like a miserable person, then you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you have a different witness of what you think the Holy Spirit is. Who you think God is, who you think Jesus is, who do you think it is? What kind of witness is in you about his blood? What's going on up there, you know? What is that doctrine? What are those cloud of witnesses that are speaking to you, you know? And so this is how the Lord, you know, that's how the Lord's been dealing with me. And it's just been freeing, you know? Now I can actually walk into one of the old churches I used to go to and sit my butt down on the pew and actually have the joy of the Lord and can't wait for God to give me the opportunity to say something, even though they're going to pull out that book. Well, here's this what we're going to talk about today. Praise God. Praise God. You know, because I would have gone in there ready for battle. No, you Baptist don't know. You Presbyterian. Oh, let me teach you something. I was a miserable human being. Oh, God, I was so miserable. I was a miserable person to be around. I was a miserable human being. I felt miserable on the inside. I had absolutely no freedom, you know, and I was more deadly and more poisonous, you know, to the body of Christ, you know, than I thought. That's what misery does. It's like a serpent, you know, that comes and bites you and it poisons the body, you know, and it spreads that poisonous nature. You got to be careful of your nature. What is your continence like when you're sitting here? You know, where are you in your continence? Because it's going to reflect right through your mouth. And then everyone's going to listen to you. And then everyone's going to, you know, pray for me. I wish I could. I got bit by your continence. And now I'm in the swamp. You know, I was feeling bad about myself already. But now I see that serving God is just miserable. My God, when is he ever going to come through and just give us a break? You know, when's my breakthrough? Oh, God. I've been alone for a long time, walking my walk, you know. I'm glad I had to go through that lonely experience because it brought me to that breaking point. A place of salvation to where I now have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I feel I'm great. I'm great. And if someone shows up, oh, praise God. You know, but yes, now I can walk into a church just like Jesus could walk into a synagogue and have the joy of the Lord as his strength. And they were like, how dare you say that? Push him off a cliff. And he was like, yeah, that's not, you know, the joy of the Lord says that this isn't going to happen today. You know, oh, my God, imagine it. They hate your guts for what you said in love. And you can walk out that church and be like, Hallelujah. Someone heard me. Satan may have spoken against the word that was preached in order to get your heart to waver. See, that's the trick. He doesn't want you to talk to them. So he's going to try his hardest to get, you know, those who have that mindset of devils. You have your father, the devil, and the lust of your father is your will to do. Can a man be a devil? Yes, he can. Check out his mindset. And that's what I mean. God said man was created in his image and his likeness. That's why he calls us man. But he said to the scribes and Pharisees, you have your father, the devil. He called them devils. Why? Because he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. The words that come out your mouth, they're full of lies and they're full of murder. You know, you set things upon people that are too heavy to be borne, and you will not lift them with one finger, you liars and murderers. You have your father, the devil. You know, so this is what the Lord has been showing me that I've been bringing to the party. You know, just heaviness. Not like he describes with Pharisees. But that mindset allows the doctrine of devils to pollute and to discourage and to cause a virus. It works like a virus or a disease. And you got that one person who just seems like they can never get it right, never come to that place, never, no matter how much you try to tell them, it is like they come back next week and it's worse. It's like, brother, what have you been doing? Have you become a sinaholic? How much sin have you been drinking? You know, and you know, they've been, but they're in that captivity. And I know that captivity. I've been in that captivity. Oh, I've been in that captivity for many, many years. But I'm not going to talk too long because I got to get ready to go to work. So I'm going to have to get off after I'm done. But that's just what I wanted to share. That's what I meant by doctrine. You know, Jesus wants us to look at everything like doctrine. Look at people like doctrine. What's the message that's being said by this person? What's the message that's being said by this allergy? He said, this man hasn't sinned, neither has his parents. This has been for the glory of God. He expressed it as a doctrine. What are you talking about, Jesus? For the glory of God. Somebody sinned. Ah. No. He just went there and he was like, this is the doctrine. Eyes be open. Bing. What? You know, oh my goodness. And if we could just see it with the joy of the Lord, start taking everything with the joy of the Lord. Did you wake up having a miserable morning? Oh God, I don't feel like it. Oh God. You know, and it's not a body issue. I'm talking about an attitude issue. Did you wake up with that? You know, oh, Heavenly Father, you know, just right now, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, this is not how you made me. This isn't my calling. See, someone's trying to move you into a different calling. Satan uses those things. He will try to push you to wake up with his mind, conformity. Then you're miserable. Then your mouth just speaks with conformity of doctrine of devils, little subtle things. Hey, Fred, how you doing? Oh, man, I woke up with just a terrible morning poison. Yeah, me too. Oh, I just hate being at work. Oh, I don't want to be more poison. You're the simplicity, you know, your words are important. They're as important as life and death. They are. And I had to learn that, you know, and I praise God for it, but I'm done talking.
Okay. Thank you, Willie. That was good. I do have a prayer request here we need to pray about. Young lady is going into a second surgery because she has too much air in her abdominal them, that somebody else would have to pronounce that one. Abdominal area. Praise the Lord. I finally got it. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we lift up faith to you. We command that air to leave her body before they start cutting on it. In the name of Jesus, I command complete healing in her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in Jesus' name. That's the name that's above every name. That's the name above that spirit of infirmity on her. In the name of Jesus, you go from her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that young Faith is healed. She's a high school girl in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Father, that Faith is healed. And you're going to get the glory for it in Jesus' name, because the doctors are going to be confounded about this business. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. That's one of the people here's son's girlfriend. Okay, Missy.
I just wanted to share something by Watchman Nee that accentuates or gives an example of what Willie was talking about. It's from his book, The Normal Christian Life, on page 43 in the PDF. And he says, whatever contradicts the truth of God's word, we are to regard as the devil's lie, not because it may not be in itself a very real fact to our senses, but because God has stated a greater fact before which the other must eventually yield. I once had an experience which, though not applicable in detail to the present matter, illustrates this principle. Some years ago, I was ill. For 6 nights, I had high fever and could find no sleep. Then at length, God gave me from scripture a personal word of healing. And because of this, I expected all symptoms of sickness to vanish at once. Instead of that, not a wink of sleep could I get. And I was not only sleepless, but more restless than ever. My temperature rose higher, my pulse beat faster, and my head ached more severely than before. The enemy asked, where is God's promise? Where is your faith? What about all your prayers? So I was tempted to thrash the whole matter out in prayer again, but was rebuked. And this scripture came to mind. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. If God's word is truth, I thought, then what are these symptoms? They must all be lies. So I declared to the enemy, this sleeplessness is a lie, this headache is a lie, this fever is a lie, this high pulse is a lie. In view of what God has said to me, all these symptoms of sickness are just your lies, and God's word to me is truth. In 5 minutes, I was asleep, and I awoke the following morning perfectly well. That is pretty cool. It just gives so close with what, you know, we've heard, you know, about, you know, just, we all talk about lying symptoms all the time, you know. He doesn't say it that way, but that's what he's saying. So I just thought it was very applicable to what Willie was saying.
Okay. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Anything that contradicts your word, Lord, is a lie. And it's from Satan.
It's from Satan. That's right. Well, Missy, you know, all that stuff stopped back in when the apostles died.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
You know what? I got to share something.
Okay. I prompted, say, is this one of those, this ain't going to take long? No, you go ahead. Well, whatever you got. I'm just kidding.
Who was it? Ezel, whatever, posted something on the blog by Watchman Nee. It was short, and I just got to looking him up on the internet. I'm familiar somewhat with his stuff, anyway, and I was so astounded by this video because I was a partaker of this ministry that is a branch off of Watchman Nee, and Merle is still in it. And I'm like, I've never ever heard that Watchman Nee spoke like this or even taught like this. Because this so-called ministry that was came out of his ministry, so-called supposedly, never taught anything like what he said in this video, because he was talking about sicknesses and medicine and stuff like that. And so I just got, and then I found this quote and another quote that were totally, it was talking about the Holy Spirit. And what he said indicated that, you know, what he doesn't believe what a lot of Christians believe, in the respect that, you know, you receive the Holy baptism or you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. You can, but not necessarily. A lot of people don't. But he definitely believes that it's something, you know, that you need to ask the Lord for or believe for, whatever, after you're born again. And I showed this to Merle and I said to him, I have never. And I know that I think I used to have this book, ought to burn it, Normal Christian Life. But I burn it only because I heard that this other ministry took a lot of his stuff and made it, changed stuff in it to make it look like they agree. But anyway, so I asked Marone and we couldn't find it. I thought for sure he had it somewhere because I wanted to check it compared to what I found in this PDF of his book. But anyway, so I think it just, I just praise you, Lord. I think it really got Merle thinking, you know, I mean, what he was saying in these, you know, quotes were just things that I know he's heard David say, I know he's heard me say, you know, and stuff like that, you know, about lying symptoms and different things like that. And I was just like, I was so excited to hear, you know, these quotes and these pieces of this. Anyway, so so maybe Merle and I can read this PDF of the Normal Christian Life rather than what the other version is that he probably has. But anyway, somewhere maybe. But I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for bringing this out. And I believe and I know, Lord, that you are causing Merle to just be curious and, Lord, to really seek for himself what the truth is, to get into your word. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Doesn't make any difference what voice puts it out as long as he gets it right. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else? On your new creation. What is your new creation? Christ in you. The hope of glory. All right. What y'all want to talk about now? There was a good book I read one time on the new creation. And it was by Kenyon. and talked about the Gospels, the difference between the Gospels and the Pauline epistles, and what the difference was between the Gospels and the epistles. Does anybody know what that is? Nobody? Oh. Well, the difference is the resurrection, right? Paul talked about us and what we were in Christ, and how he taught in the Spirit. Jesus taught in the sense, so to speak, or flesh, so to speak. And I don't like to say flesh. It's actually sense knowledge. He had to show everybody. He had to show them that this is what is coming for y'all. The resurrection power, the substitution that Christ did for us, where he went to down and took on sin, sickness, disease, and all of that stuff for us. And after he did all of that, we don't have to suffer all of that anymore. And not only that, we can walk that sanctified life by grace and faith, by God's grace and faith. Not only that, there's a lot more. I'm trying to get y'all to try to help me here. I want y'all to do the talking. I'm just throwing things out there to get y'all to talk. Do you understand the difference between the Pauline epistles and the Gospels? One is Jesus walking on this earth. What did he tell the disciples? He said, I'd like to tell you a whole lot of things, but I can't, because you're not spiritually discerning yet. And he couldn't be spiritually discerning until they got the Holy Spirit. And that's why there's a lot of Bibles out there that are translated through people who didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they've got mistakes all in them. King James, prime example. But anyway, anybody else on this note here? Okay, we'll go to another subject. No, really, I'd like to stay on this for a while. When Jesus walked the earth with the disciples, he continually upbraided them and encouraged them. Keep getting these rings on this thing and they're on this another dream team thing. Oh. Paul, he understood, because of what Jesus taught him, he understood the difference between the sense walk and the spiritual walk. And to get that, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, somebody got that right handy? I can get it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've got people in whole denominations that don't read the Bible and to understand who they are in Christ and what goes on when you, when Christ is, has been, I got to turn this thing off. This is really disturbing me. Okay. Sorry about that. But the resurrection power that took Jesus up is the same one that we have in us. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you got the power of the Holy Spirit, you got the whole power of God behind you. And they didn't understand that. The apostles didn't understand it even after Jesus was resurrected. They asked him when he came back, you know, I said, well, is this the time you're going to take our enemies out? You know, he said, y'all don't know nothing. I said, hang on. I said, you're fixing to be endowed with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to show you everything. Everything will be like you want, like I want it to. You'll see. And that's what happened at Pentecost. And at Pentecost, they got the power of God, and they knew then that they had it, because the power of God, the Holy Spirit, was their teacher also. Go ahead, Pat.
So, Jesus in the Gospels was providing the example of what the life looks like. And the and so the epistles, obviously after Acts and receiving the empowerment necessary, the epistles were how to obtain or apprehend that life through the discipleship exchange program. and how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And I actually posted that in the chat in Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised together with the Christ, seek the things above where the Christ, you know, where am I getting that? Is that where that says? Oh, you know, it was, I was studying this. I'm going to backtrack here for a second, because what I posted in the chat was out of the Numeric New Testament. And in the Numeric, Ivan Panin speaks about something that another thing that he discovered in the scripture, and it's kind of expressed in this verse that I wrote, that I read. In the Numeric, it says, "If then ye were raised together with the Christ, seek the things above where the Christ is seated at God's right hand." And it's hard to understand that. That's why the English translators, you know, even in the American Standard, changed that word or left that thing out. But what was happening is that when it there's a certain the word "the" in the Greek, I think, is what it was, and it's they put an asterisk, or if you in the written Bible, in the written numeric, this one, they actually put a colon in front of it. And Ivan explained it in that it doesn't fit comfortably in the English language. And so the English translators went right over it and they just kind of ignored it and jumped through it. And so when he, created the numeric New Testament, he put a colon in there every time this happened so that he could at least alert people as to the fact that God chose to put something, an extra "the" before those words, even though it doesn't by English flow in the language. But God felt the need to put it in there, and he does it quite extensively all the way through the Bible. And so Ivan Panin explained it. He said, "I'm not going to change the English reading of it, but I'm going to ring the bell. And every time God puts it in there, I'm going to ring the bell by putting this colon in there just so that we know that it's in there." And basically says, you have to ask God what it means, what the meaning is for. So sorry, I did a little tangent there. But so the epistles, if then you were raised together, they're there to instruct us how to apprehend this life, which the Gospels reveals in Jesus. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things upon the earth. For ye died and the life is hid with the Christ in God. So I finished up with the numeric section there. But anyway, the bottom line was one's to teach us how to apprehend that, and one is what we're apprehending in the gospel. So that's all.
Amen. That's good, Pat. That means we as new creations are born from above, right? That's what he's talking about. He's born from above. We came from God now. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ." What does that mean? Oh my. That means everything that Jesus had, by God the Father has, that's what we got. It's nothing that we have to beg God for. It's already here. We already have it. Everything. We don't have to pray for anything other than physical things or the circumstances around us, because he's given us. He's already given us faith. He told us to faith the size of a mustard seed moves mountains. He's already given us healing. He's already given us all of those things. And we're going to come to a time where we all walk in there as we renew our mind with the word of God, up to the point to where we are walking, talking, and acting like Jesus, that we'll walk in divine health. We'll walk in that Psalms 91 where we won't have to worry about all that stuff. And God's going to give us some anointing to do that too. Praise God. That's the great thing, Patrick, about this word, is that God tells us we have everything that Jesus has. And even the things that are flowing into Jesus now are flowing into us. And all we have to do is receive it, walk in it, and confess it with our mouth that it's done. What you confess with your mouth means a lot. on how you walk in this faith-filled life that God's put got us on here. And that's your sanctified life too. If you believe that God has, that Jesus took his sins on him and you don't have to, you're sanctified by faith. You're sanctified. Don't worry about it anymore. If you misstep, all you got to do is repent. You're back on track. You don't sit there and condemn yourself for it. You get back on track and start doing the things that God's told you to do. But a lot of times we like to make it a whole lot more complex than it naturally is. I know I have most of my life. But this, I found out early on what faith was, and that's just trusting God. When you understand that, that's a lot of the battle right there. Anybody else? And God's going to give us the grace to believe the whole thing. Yes, he's already given it to us, but he's going to do some more. There'll be some more work here. I can't wait. Can y'all wait? I guess I have to, but it's going to be an awesome time. The great thing about the Word of God is this. You can take the Word of God and confess it, and God will honor it because he hears his own Word. He's going to back up his own Word. If you need some, let's say, okay, Lord, I need some money to get your gospel out, or I need some money to buy some books, to give some books out. Your Word says right here that you would provide everything that I need. So bless God, I'm believing it right now. In the name of Jesus, I send them angels out there to go get my money for this gospel in Jesus' name. And watch what happens. God will bring it back to you when you need it. Go ahead, Benita. I saw you raise your hands.
Yeah, hopefully I can talk before the dogs run in here. I just wanted to say, let's see. You know, just praise the Lord, first of all, for just the teachings, and specifically right now for me, just the teaching about household salvation, and just that we can rest in that, and we know our families are coming in, and I was born again when my children were young, but I was, you know, in the Baptist church, and I was just learning about Christ when I was 40 and my kids were just little, but they were raised in the church, and I homeschooled them and, you know, taught them the Bible and did the best I could with what I knew at the time. And, you know, my daughter's kind of, she was just saying the other day, she was reading a book about the spiritual journey of somebody else in a different religion. And I'm like, why are you reading that? And I said, well, yeah, she's, you know, she has a really hard time believing the things that I believe. And she like overhears the Bible study and everything. So she knows, you know, she knows what I'm listening to and what I'm believing, but she has a really hard time with that. And so then I was like, well, you know, but what about everything else you learned when you were in church? Do you remember those things? She's like, yeah, I remember stuff, Mom. I said, well, I mean, but she said, but that's not what you're studying or what you're learning. I said, yeah, but I mean, just let's just take it to the basic, you know, he is the truth, the way, and the life. What about that? And she said right then, she said, I don't know if I believe that anymore, Mom. And I thought, and I just, you know, I wasn't even worried, because I'm not worried. I know Lord's just going to bring her in, and this is where she needs to be. And I just remembered Petra's testimony about her daughter when she was working with a bunch of Muslim people and she wanted to be Muslim, and then that turned around, and praise the Lord. I mean, he's just doing his work. And so I can just rest, and it's so nice just to be able to rest and just to see the work, his hand moving, just like Ben came in, you know. We just know it's going to happen. So we need more young people like Ben that I don't know how he's going to do it. But, you know, I was going to say also, I've got a second. I was going to ask, now the dog came in. Shoot. Just a minute. I got to get him. Go over there. Go over there.
Okay. Boy, you better get yourself over there right now. In Jesus' name.
He sat down. Amen.
Okay. Good dog.
What I was going to ask about was, you know, when what I used to believe was about the will of God, I used to think, oh, well, if it's behind me now, then that was his will, because that's how things worked out. So that must have been his will. But as I now think about it more, he might not. Well, how do I put this? That's not necessarily what he wanted to have happen, or the decision that he wanted me to make at the time, but he's going to use, I don't know if I'm saying this right. He's going to use the decision that I did make with the knowledge that I did have at the time to grow me through that decision. So, permissive will. So I bring that up because, you know, like when my daughter graduated from high school, we had no money. We were broke, and I had always grown up, you know, she's going to go to college, and everybody's got to go to college and get a degree and do this and that, you know. Grew up in the world sense that way. That was very strong. My mom was very adamant about, you got to save up money so that you can put them through college. And so I mean, anyways, we didn't have any money, but then we got this free 100% covered scholarship through a really good university here. And you know, I thought about it at the time. I'm like, I don't know if that's the right thing or not, and I hemmed and hawed about it. But it was like, how can I turn that down? I don't know how I could ever turn that down. That's what, and so we didn't turn it down. And, you know, I look back now, it's like, I should have probably turned that down. But it was a 4-year scholarship to the University of Michigan. I mean, how can you turn that down? At that time, knowing what I knew, I mean, I wasn't with UBM or anything at the time. And anyways. So that's where she went. And you know how liberal universities change minds. And I think the last time she really, really believed in Christ was her senior year. After she graduated, we had a conversation and she was talking to me about Christ. And it's like ever since she went to college, she just doesn't want to talk about it anymore. She doesn't want to hear about it or anything. So anyways, I just praise the Lord through it all. He's just going to do great things. And she went there, and that was our decision at the time, and he's going to use that to, you know, she needed to learn it on her own and not have it be my Christ. It has to be her Christ. So he's going to make her his. You know what I mean? Amen.
Yeah. Wonder if you could go up there and just say, look, I got a scholarship from y'all. Would you just give me the money? What if I do that? I don't know if I can go for that. Okay.
Well, no, they want you to. They want to reel you in right into the school and the liberal
thought. Yeah, they want to indoctrinate you. Is what they want to do.
Yes.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night, and we praise you, Father. And I ask and I pray, Father, that place it in our hearts to stay in the Word, start confessing the Word. So that our prayers will be answered. And Father, we just praise you, glorify you. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in all of us. And I thank you, Father, that faith is healed And I thank you, Lord, that all these prayers tonight have been answered. And I praise you, glorify you, and thank you, Father, that we have the victory over the enemy in Jesus' mighty name. And we're going to send the praisers out and ahead of us in order to get that victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Y'all agree? Glory to God. Okay, that's good night, y'all.